Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
So we're continuing our series on sayings of Jesus. And one of our aims behind this is to equip us to talk to our friends, our neighbours and colleagues, and to be the sort of people God wants us to be, so that we can see people come on Sunday because they're curious, because they become our friends, they want to come, and they meet with Jesus. So that's the aim, and the aim of today. So by reading that another couple of verses, I hope you've realised we have an immediate problem. Is Jesus still the light of the world? Because this is what he says. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But of course, he left. Further on in John, he's even clearer. John 12:35. You're going to have the light a little longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. So what did he mean? Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Because first of all, we need to look and put it in the context of the bigger story of what light means in the world. And to understand light, we've got to first understand darkness. You see, we live in a world of light, don't we? Our homes, you just press a switch, we have lights in all our rooms, we have uplighters, we have fluorescents, we have lamps, we have light everywhere. And the cities and towns we live in, if you walk out of the door, there's street lights, there's lights from houses, there's cars, there's billboards. We live in a world of light. They didn't. For 12 hours of the day, most days, there was no light. You wouldn't go out of your house. It was too dangerous. You couldn't carry a candle. You'd fall over something or you could be attacked. Even in your house, you were hugely limited as to what you could do. They lived in a world where darkness was really important and dangerous. It gave a sense that there wasn't much to their lives. They were very insignificant. So this is the sort of situation that Jesus is talking to. They couldn't avoid darkness. People longed for light. So when he says, I am the light of the world, this isn't just a nice little saying. This was profound. This was fundamental. This was life-changing. And as we'll see, he wasn't just talking about physical darkness. He was talking about all sorts of other forms of darkness that were in the world. So, what did he actually mean? Well, like many things in the Christian life, to understand it, we've got to go back from the beginning and take it to the end. So, let's put it in context. For a minute, let's look at the whole of God's creative, redemptive story. Where do we first hear about light? Any suggestions?
Creation.
Third verse in the Bible. God said, let there be light. It's the first thing he created. However we want to take and look at how we look at that creation story, it's clear the first and most important thing that God created was light. At the beginning, in the garden, everything was beautiful. And that light brought life. And it was a beautiful life. And at the end of all this story, it will be beautiful again. There's some glorious pictures. In Isaiah 60, verse 19, it says, the Lord will be our everlasting light. In Revelation, which is a great book to read every now and then if you want to stir your faith, Revelation 21:23, this is how it all ends. The glory of the Lord gives the heavenly city its light, and its lamp is the lamp, is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk. So God's story starts with him creating light, and it goes into eternity with him being light, but we're in the middle, aren't we? And the middle is very different. Ever since Adam and Eve in that garden, that declaration of independence from God where they said, we know best. We want to control our own lives. We want to make our own decisions. We don't need you. Everything changed dramatically. And as a result of that rebellion, darkness broke into the world. Not the comforting darkness they had in Genesis to rest, but a deep darkness with a moral and spiritual element. And we now live in a world where there is darkness. A much deeper darkness. It's not just physical, it's an emotional darkness that brings fear and distress. It is a mental darkness that brings confusion and not knowing what to do with our lives. It's a spiritual darkness that means people question who they are and feel lost. It's a moral darkness which lets evil loose into the world. And into this darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So we're going to follow through what that means. The degree of darkness varies, I think, in different times and in different places. It can be more or less dark. If you remember that verse in Isaiah, we'll read at Christmas, it says, "Unto a child is born, it to a people dwelling in a land of deep darkness." Darkness varies. Sometimes it feels deeper than other places. Talking to Roshan, he talked about coming back to London feels darker than Dubai, and I think it is. And if you look around the world, you can see some places are darker than others. But right from the beginning, God wanted light to shine. And if you read in through Isaiah time and time again, you get this comment about being the Israel being called to be a light to the nations. Ring a bell? Being a light to the nations. You see, one of the distinctive things about God is he always wants to speak through people, not through books and tablets. It's always what we call incarnational. So God came to the world in Jesus, in a person, not in a prophet telling us what to do. And right from the beginning, he wanted to bring the world back to himself through a people, a nation, Israel. And they were called to be a light to the nations. Isaiah 2 verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And of course, they failed miserably. Time after time, they did not be that light. Because the old covenant that they had didn't have a power to help them be that light. And increasingly the darkness overcame them. And then comes Jesus. Into this world of increasing darkness, he came. And we have this beautiful passage where John, the gospel writer, who's the only one who picks up this story about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, he starts off the whole gospel. Remember it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. John recognized there is darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What an amazing promise. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So he sets up the whole gospel with this at the beginning, saying, there is darkness, but there's a light coming in Jesus, a true light that the darkness will not overcome. And then that leads to Jesus saying in chapter 8, as we've read, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So as in so many things, Jesus fulfilled Israel's calling. They failed to be a light to the nations. He was the light to the nations. All the people who came to him while he was walking on this earth. He fulfilled everything that God had said. And then he dies. He's resurrected, but then he goes back to heaven. So the light of the world has left. Or has it? Looking at John again, John 12. I'm going to read the slightly longer passage now. The light is among you for a little while longer. This is what he said. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. That you may become sons of light. Something radical, life-changing is happening here. Jesus is going, but he's leaving behind a new Israel who is able to be a light to the nations, to our neighbours, to our friends, to our families. Paul explains it very clearly when he writes to the Corinthians 40 years later. This is what he says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who initially said, light shine out of darkness, remember that's where we started, for God who said, light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a beautiful verse. He made his light shine in your heart and in my heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So this now is the fulfillment of it all. Right from the beginning when God said, let there be light, when he called a people to be, this is where it is now finally fulfilled. We are the light of the world. What Jesus came and did, he's now put within us. We have a totally new power and relationship to be the light that Israel could never be. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. It's one of the keys to this series, I think. So often we think evangelism is doing something. I think it's being something. First and foremost, it's always being something. And this time we're looking at being a light to the world. So let's see what that means for ourselves first, and then we'll talk about what that means to those who don't know Jesus. We live in this darkened world, as we've said. The prince of darkness is powerful. And we're affected by it. We can't deny that. Ephesians 6 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness. See it again? The Bible recognizes we live in a dark world. This present darkness. That is what we're against. And this emotional, mental, spiritual, moral darkness is what Jesus is really talking about. And he's not just saying it's dark because there's no light. He's saying, no, darkness is a real thing. Darkness is a real thing. And we need light to dispel it. It comes against us and it can affect us, first of all, emotionally. It can bring a sense of fear and uncertainty to our lives, and distress, particularly when difficult things happen. But Jesus says, if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness. The answer to fear, and we could preach a whole sermon on it, but essentially, it is the light of God in our lives as we follow him, deals with fear, because fear comes from darkness. Fear and distress comes from darkness. Psalm 27 verse 1, your light that is my light and salvation, whom should I fear? Whom or what should I fear? It can affect us mentally. It can cause confusion, lack of direction. What do I do with my life? What is going on here? Things are dark. I can't see clearly. We like to know where we're going, don't we? I think it's partly because we want to be back in control. And sometimes if we're not careful, we start what I call prophetic conference hunting, thinking if I keep going to enough, God's going to finally speak to me and say something that I can then do and lead my life. I don't think it usually happens that way. I think it happens the way Jesus says here, follow him daily, and he will show us how to go. Occasionally there are words, I can think of two or three in my life that aren't all fulfilled, that give me a longer term direction. But I think a lot of our day to day is simply walking with Jesus, reading his word, seeking him. He speaks, he's light. Psalm 43 verse 3, send out your light and your truth, let them lead me. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. interesting. It's a lamp to my feet, which is pretty in front of us. You know, your next step. And a light to my path, which is the bit ahead. It is not a lighthouse on the horizon, normally. But he will be. He will let our feet not stumble today, tomorrow. He will light our path this week, next week, because he is the light. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. Light comes as we open this book and read it daily. Okay? It's like an amazing source of light. That's how God uses it. Spiritually, it enables us to see ourselves as we really are. Light gives spiritual life. Light shows us in our hearts that we are accepted. We're forgiven. We're adopted into the family. We're restored. We're God's precious possession. We have great value to him. His light in our heart shows us that. And it dispels the darkness that threatens to come in and say, we don't count. Things have happened that rule us out. We're insignificant. No. No, if you walk in the light, you'll know significance. You'll know love. Because that's what the light brings. It brings spiritual life. Walking in the light dispels darkness. So that's spiritually. And then morally. Light exposes sin for what it truly is. Sin is a deadly, disfiguring disease. We all know that really underneath. Because it becomes a habit, doesn't it? And it is like a disease that grows. And it's disfiguring and deadly. Part of the purpose of the light is for us to walk into it. This is painful and embarrassing at times. But if we do confess our sins to one another and ask for help, there's an amazing freedom in that. And there's a power that's released as we walk into the light for us to change and for habits and patterns to be broken. It may be today God's speaking to you and you can make a step into his light by telling somebody and asking for prayer. The same John who wrote this gospel picks up again the theme in his letter, 1 John 1 verse 7. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we walk in the light, we have true fellowship with one another. We're open, transparent. And the blood of Jesus not only forgives us, but cleanses us. A conscience cleaned is a beautiful thing. We're called to be careful, therefore, what we watch, where we go, what we listen to. There's a bit of darkness, well, quite a lot of darkness, I think, around us nowadays. In the media, just wherever we go. We're called to be careful where we walk, where we go, where we expose ourselves to bits of darkness around lust or violence or greed, or even the other way around, what I call the disnification of life, where everything ends all happily and you only have to be yourself and it all works. This is all darkness. We need to be careful where we walk because it creeps in. It numbs us spiritually. I know I've experienced that. I'm sure you have as well. It undermines our faith. It disarms us in the battle. Walk into the light. It doesn't matter what you've done or what's happened to you. It's just one step into the light. Because light dispels darkness and all the effects of darkness. So what about our witness to the world around us? I think if we live this sort of open life, walking with Jesus, people are going to notice, you know. We're going to be, as Jesus calls us in Matthew 6, a light to the world. It's just going to happen. We don't have to do anything special. Because all these same things that we've talked about, these forms of darkness, are rampant in the world. Emotionally, people are gripped by fear, aren't they? They're imprisoned by fear. Whether it's someone who doesn't want to go out of their house because of fear, or whether it's all the way through to fear of death, which is probably the thing that grips people most. I've always been struck by Dylan Thomas's poem he wrote on the death of his father, and these are his final two lines. "Do not go gently into that dark night. Rage, rage at the dying of the light. Do not go gently into that dark night. Rage, rage at the dying of the light." That's all someone who doesn't know Jesus can do. You see, they realize it's about lights gone. They realize it's about darkness, but they have no answer. But we do. We do. It's very simple. Following Jesus brings you back into the light. Mentally, our world and generation struggles so much to understand what is good and what is bad and how to live a life. There's an awesome warning in Isaiah 50, verse 11, where it says, and it's talking about making your own light to guide your life. It says, "Behold, you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with your own burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and your torches. This you will have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment." God lets people have the consequences of following from their own wisdom. In Jeremiah 2 it says, "You went after worthlessness, you became worthless." So describes our world, tragically, isn't it? These are people we love, but this is what happens when mentally people try and live by their own light. When instead of following Jesus, they follow Google. And our call is to say to them, there's a better way. Let me tell you about what happened to me. There's a better way. There's a better way to make decisions, to work out your life. Spiritually, people are lost. There's a desperate search for identity and meaning in our world. Desperate. People are doing all sorts of things to create identity and meaning, which we know from last week, you can really only find full satisfaction in a relationship with Jesus, because he's the one who gives life. Nobody else does. Everything else is a temporary fix. I think the combined effect of these, emotional fear and distress, mental confusion, spiritual lostness, is the root of what we see in what we call our mental health crisis, which is utterly tragic. The percentage of people who would say they are struggling really seriously with mental health in our nation is greater than it's ever been. I think it's darkness in these three forms. And I think the answer is Jesus, and I don't mean that in a trite way. I don't mean you can just say the name of Jesus or read some verses. But if people can be introduced to him, he's a light. And people start to follow him, becomes light within us. And these things start, this darkness starts to be dispelled. We need to be praying for this nation. There is so much tragic darkness that comes from living like that. Morally, it takes courage for us to take a stand on moral issues, doesn't it? Whether it's something about sexuality, or whether it's simply the way the expense forms are filled in, or not liberating some stationery from the office to use at home, or the little things. But you know, if you and I live in the light, people notice. They do. It makes them feel a bit uncomfortable, but they notice. And the only way we're going to deal with the evil that there is in this world is by living differently and living in light and being the light this world needs. So Jesus said, "I am the light." He is, but he's now within us. We are now the light to this world to dispel all this darkness. We have inherited a great calling. That one that goes right back to the people of Israel, called to be a light to the nations. God hasn't given up. He's now said, "You are a light to the nations." Again, if you read Isaiah, there's wonderful verses that apply to us as a church about saying, we are now a light to the nations. And it's because of his life within us. I'll read that verse from Corinthians again. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, he has made his light shine in your heart today. Okay, he's done it, and he continues to do it, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, supremely shown in the face of Christ.